welcome to the Strategic Ladies Radio Show. We'll be airing live every Thursday from 10:30 Pacific Standard Time, 12:30 Central Standard Time, and 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. And we'll also be airing on Sirius XM Radio, powered by Genius Music, at the same times on Friday. We're going to be bringing you relationship information, strategy from our guests, and in the research. Our show will give you generational perspectives and real-world opinions.
Hello, everyone, and I'm Dr. Estella. Today, we're going to talk about misconceptions of rap artists and the music. What do you think about that, Jay?
We know there's a lot of misconceptions, and, you know, I was actually one of those people that had some of those stereotypes about sometimes the rappers.
Well, you know, it's funny because we're going to bring in a guest Mike Hantz.
Mike Hantz, yes.
And Mike Hantz is going to come in and talk about these misconceptions because he's a rap artist and he's got a lot of experience in the industry. But you know what? It's really interesting because I kind of had misconceptions, but I never really did because I always knew that the media always portrayed people of color different ways. So I always knew that, I mean, yes, there are stereotypes that are typical to ethnicity sometimes, but I always knew that there was always a master plan of not really being true to who we were as sometimes as a people. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I think that after listening to a couple of, you know, good friends and then actually talking to Christopher Rogers, is really his first name, but he goes by Mike Hantz, talking to him as well, learning so much about his background and how much he's achieved, even though his music career is very successful. You'll hear about that as well. You know, he's done a lot of great things, and I think that there's this misconception that, you know, people that rap just talk about rap and that's all they understand. And I find that there's a lot of people, and it's not surprising that they're very intelligent and educated, and that's really just their brand.
Right. Well, think about it. You know, every there's a lot of ideas that are taken, people create, and they move on and use it.
Right.
And, you know, the reason that the hip-hop and the rap culture is growing so much now is because our hip-hop culture and rap music is growing so well, differentiation, is because of the opportunities in it.
Right.
Right. You know, before, and I think that we have really perfected how we're bringing those opportunities to our people. And I think other people are, you know, getting in on it, which is okay. I mean, I'm not discriminatory at all. I think it's great. But I just think that people did have a certain mindset set about people and what they're doing. And, you know, we kind of talked about this before, how a lot of times people thought that rappers were violent and it always portrayed violence when in fact it wasn't. I love that Living Color. Remember that Living Color where they, you may not remember.
She's looking, in Living Color?
She's,
like the show?
Yeah. She's looking at me like,
I'm so young. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I remember one time they had a scene where a couple of partner rappers were sitting and talking, and then they were acting really hoodish. And then all of a sudden at break, they got up and said, "What is my stock market doing today?" And,
oh, yeah, I remember that. So the only thing I could think of was the Vanilla Ice.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But, yes, and that's the truth. I think that's actually what happens. I mean, I'm sure, like, a lot of people that do, I think, the gangster rap and the hardcore rapper speaking from experience and trying to, you know, get people out of those situations and expressing themselves with things that have happened. But I also think that those people may have arose in the sense that they've gone a different way so that they've learned the strategy to move forward so they can actually make it in this world and make more money opportunities.
Well, the bottom line is a business like anything else, right?
Right.
And people, it was a new business, a new culture. I think we talked about it back in the 80s it started and maybe even before, and it was a new business. It was a new art form, and people had to accept it. And now we perfected it. And now, it's amazing how trends happen, too. I mean, I can remember even with, jazz. You don't see too much jazz being played anymore.
Blues.
You don't see. I mean,
it's the funny thing is there's still those sectors, but you're right. It's not as publicized on the radio right now. It's funny how that we've lost some of those genres. And even though it's still being played, there's a lot of little places you can go to hear it. I agree. It's not something that's publicized as much as the R&B, the pop. But I think I wonder if it's because people are trying to reach certain populations, like the millennials and.
Well, I went to Canada probably about 5 years ago, and the Asian culture has embraced jazz.
Yeah.
So there is.
I think so.
I think it's amazing how the cultures change and people decide what they like and but I'm excited about hip hop. I think it, you know, I think that we are getting to a point where there's different types, but I think that I'm proud of the diversity and the way they market themselves too, right?
And finally, it's funny how music is becoming so. There's so many genres within a genre, or I guess sectors in it. And like we were talking with a previous guest that we had on, how he puts himself in a certain area of rap and hip hop, and it's just funny how there's more expansion upon that.
Oh yeah. I think so. I think that, and we have to learn. I mean, we have our stereotypes too.
Yes.
The music now is expanding beyond race and ethnicity, which is music.
Right.
Music is a very diverse
everybody.
It's a touch, which is I love it. You know, music is the window of the soul, and it gets, you know, everyone has different. We can't just stereotype and say, oh, you know, here is this person and they're in this music, and here's this person and that one. It's just it's diversifying itself.
And I love that because it's bringing all kinds of cultures together.
So, Jay.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
You know what? I have been working on that dissertation.
Oh, my God. Jay is almost there, you guys. You don't know what a struggle it's been.
And just, I mean, I'm feeling good. How about you?
I need a little bit of an energy boost. I did have a Starbucks. You know, we need to have Starbucks sponsors.
Cause boy, I know,
like,
right?
You know what?
Seriously.
I'm putting you on the show. I'm drinking your coffee. You know, shoot, give me a little bit of love.
Oh, my God, but, Starbucks. I am obsessed. That's true. Yeah. I mean, I think it's an addiction. I have to stop.
Well, it's funny because even though I don't sometimes go to Starbucks, which really is where I always go there, but when I don't go, I even drink it, you know, grind my own and make it. So, either way, Starbucks, give some love this way. StrategicLadies.com, www.strategicladies.com. We are looking for sponsors, and we would love to just run a commercial with your name on it.
Oh, man.
We'll even carry your cup and take a picture.
I actually do.
I know. Yeah, we bought the plastic ones, right, that look like the cup. Isn't that retarded?
But you know what?
They're not even hot. They're cold. They burn, though.
Well, you know what the thing is? Have yours burned?
Yeah, they hurt. You have to put that's why the little holder things, well, sleeves. They need plastic sleeves to put around it.
Don't you wish you would have invented the sleeve? It would be so
rich
right
God. Now. That's the thing about it. Look, think of those vendors that making. It's just like hip hop. You know, it's not just the CD, right? It's the outfit and the promotions. You know,
that's it's the same building thing. Their brand.
Exactly. That's the same with Starbucks. They got the mugs. So
do you want to talk about a couple of things that are going on in your horizon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about life, and I'm excited about being here. Thank you, God. This is, you know, for me, I don't know about everyone else, but this holiday for me coming up, and I'm excited about my special holiday, Easter. And
I'm very excited about that, too.
Yeah.
It was so funny, you guys, a little off subject, how Dr. Stella here gets so annoyed with the Easter egg hunts.
Oh, my God. Okay, that is a form of Easter that just drives me crazy. First of all, don't call. I'm telling you right now, people, do not call Easter egg hunts a hunt if your kids aren't hunting for eggs. If you're putting it out there, if you're just laying the eggs on the carpet or wherever you do it, on the grass, call it an Easter egg lay. Because it's not a hunt.
So this comes from a story when we went to an Easter egg hunt and all the eggs were visible. And it just drove her crazy. It was the funniest thing. I think I'm just going to do it on purpose, like on Easter.
Come on, callers. You can call in and join the conversation because this is a good one. Why do we make our kids, why are we giving them everything, even eggs, right? It's 310-928-7733. Again, 310-928-7733. We are not teaching them how to work for anything. And what drove me
you
crazy.
You must work to get an
what
egg.
What drove me crazy is that these parents were running around, oh my God, there's one. No, let them be responsible and find their own egg. Yes, everyone should leave with maybe two eggs, but there should be a winner and a loser. No, just kidding.
So you can see how I grew up, right? That's why I'm fighting for eggs now.
I mean, and give it some effort. They could at least put it behind a tree, right? No, they lay it on the grass. I couldn't believe it. And they said, Easter egg hunt.
Well, you know, I agree with you. That is quite interesting. But I think for me, I think what, and I understand that everybody has like allergies and things of that sort. But it does kind of drive me crazy with Easter eggs. We're talking about Easter eggs, huh?
Right.
It drives me crazy when people are like, okay, don't give candy in the eggs. I'm like, gosh, this is the one time the kids should be able to kind of have candy.
All right, here it is. Easter egg lay. Nutritious eggs. You find a way to, what are we going to call it? Nutrition eggs.
That's so boring. These poor kids aren't experiencing fun. It's like, why? They're supposed to have little chocolates on Easter.
Easter egg lay with organic eggs.
Yeah.
Well, just figure a way to do it where it's real and stop being kind of unreal. But anyway, I think that.
But that's just our opinions, you know, for today.
I'm just thinking
it's not research based. I'm just thinking, but it is.
I'm
experience based.
I'm just thinking Good Friday is a good one, right? We need to head out and just be thankful. I know that Jay at the end of every show moving into positivity.
Yes.
Jay in every show gives a really prophetic word because she is a gifted creature and God has blessed her with being able to understand and see things. So today she's going to give us a word, and hopefully that word is, you know, motivate your kids to get their own eat train. No, just kidding. And stop giving them everything. No, just kidding.
No. You know what? I understand the idea, and that's that every kid feels like they win. It's giving them some kind of motivation that they have an egg.
So lying to your kids.
Okay. Well, no, the thing is, you know what? Let them have it now, because when they get it in the future, it's going to be hard for them to fight, right? Don't you think?
And give them a little. And this little bit of searching behind a tree is not going to hurt those kids.
Well, I think maybe, okay, I agree with you. I do agree, because when I did Easter egg hunts, I actually had to find them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like every kid, if not your kids don't have it, the kids that don't find an egg gets an egg at the end.
Oh, totally.
That's what they should do.
Yeah, we didn't even get that, though. We didn't get when we went home bare.
I know, no, right? That's so mean. Oh, my God.
There was the ones on the table when everyone knew that you were a loser and you didn't get it. No, just kidding.
Oh, man, she is something else.
Oh,
well, boy. You guys, I am so excited about Easter. It's going to be a fun time for the kids and the family. Yeah. So that's something that we love.
Yeah, and we're also excited about, you know, we've got a big event at Awakenings Center of Conscious Living. It's Awakenings Bookstore in Laguna Hills this weekend. It's from 4 to 6, right?
Correct.
And we're going to be talking about mindfulness. If you have not experienced being mindful, which everyone has, but we don't realize that or don't know how to develop that mindfulness and that talent, is it come on out to Laguna Hills. We're going to give you some great information. It's only $15 to get in. It is so important that you learn how to be mindful in this hectic world. I also want to give a special shout out to the people in Brussels and just give love to them. I know that it's just a horrible thing. The ISIS group and hatred. And we just want to, in silence, just kind of meditate and say a nice word for them.
Yes. So you guys, please hold that thought. We're going to go take you to a quick break. Stay tuned. We have a special guest that you won't want to miss. Remember, you're always welcome to join the conversation at any time by calling 310-928-7733. We're going to see you back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Dedicate this song to little Junior Parker, a cousin of mine that's gone on, but we'd like to kind of carry on in his name by saying, I don't know why I love you like I do, out of all the changes that you put me through, used all my money in my cigarettes. Take me to
be so bad after all the things that we could have had. Love is an ocean that I can't forget. My sweet 16, I will never regret. I will know, won't you tell me, my love is changing.
CK.
And I'm Dr. Estella.
And we're the Strategic Ladies. We specialize in relationships.
And our radio show will bring you controversy, real world, and fun information.
We also have live interviews from various guests from different walks of life who are experts in their fields.
And who better to give relationship advice than a mother and daughter duo?
Additionally, you'll hear research from the mindful professor, Dr. Estella.
And a prophetic word given to you by Jacinta C.K.
Make sure to listen to us every Thursday live at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
To find out more about us, go to our website at www.strategicladies.com.
Or you can email us at write2@strategicladies.com.
Talk to you later and see you at our show.
Bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Strategic Ladies Radio Show. I invite you to call in and join our conversation at 310-928-7733. Again, 310-928-7733. We are so excited to bring to you today our special guest, Mike Hands. Hi, Mike.
Oh. How are you? How are you guys doing?
We're doing excellent.
So, Mike, I'm going to read a little bit about you. You have a very extensive bio. I'm just going to go through a few things, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. But, listeners, you really want to get to know Mike. Mike has a lot of great things that he's done. He fell victim and came a product of Brooklyn in his environment. He's a rapper. Has a lot of tools for advancement. He witnessed life at its earliest, seeing friends and family down in their prime. And after trying very hard, he rose above that in the streets and became a real successful person.
You know, not only that, he's been able to do some things that some people just dream of. He's graced some of today's leading publications, including The Source, XXL, The Vibe magazine. I mean, that's just a goal for some people in general to just grace one of those. He's headed up Pepsi clothing line as their head designer. He has several Burger King, McDonald's, TBS, HBO, Pepsi for the commercials and vocals that he's led in his music for these. Mike, is there, I mean, gosh, you have so many
accolades. Why don't you tell what you'd like to share from your perspective on some of the things you're doing? It sounds like you've really been able to build your brand.
Wow. First off, thank you. You make him sound very interesting.
I mean, you are. Dang.
You are.
I mean, it's funny. You read the story or you write the story, but you don't really get a chance to read the story. And when you listen to someone else's perspective, spin, or appreciation of the story, it really makes you stop a minute and just, you know, think for yourself, like, wow, because there's only but so many hours in a day, but so much time that we've all been here. And you start to ask yourself a wonder, you know, where were you able to fit it? And the truth is, there is really no way to do it. You have to just live. Mm-hmm. And just do. And whatever it is that you're focused on, your pursuit, which is going to come at a cost, which is something people need to know. Nothing comes without sacrifice and a cost, but right. if it's your calling and you feel like it's truly what you're supposed to be doing, you're just going to move and try to move in a forward motion. Mm-hmm. And even when you're trying and you don't know quite what you're doing, as long as you're leaning in a progressive direction, even if you stumble, you'll fall forward.
Right, right. So Mike, I know you're doing a lot. You're branding yourself in various ways. What are some of the specific skill sets you think you bring to the table in all the things that you're doing?
All right. Well, a lot of them are indirect. So being a creative is the base. That's my base commodity, being a creative. So it really doesn't matter what the canvas or the medium is. Being creative is very important to me. It's something that has been instilled in me from as long as I can remember, through my mom, my dad, and moving forward. So that's my strongest commodity, having an open mind to create. Then being as aggressive as I am when it comes down to the predatorial instinct I have when it comes to pursuing what I want. So when I focus on something that I think is a necessity in itself, or I believe is a necessity to further something that we're already pursuing,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of relentless in the approach. So I think having that kind of focus or the ability to focus like that is a very important commodity as well. Being exposed to so many different versions of this industry,
right.
and understanding the synergies between the different versions of this industry, I think is also an asset in making yourself viable across the table, because you never know what the demand is going to call for.
So now
you never know.
Chris, I was saying, you know, you just mentioned something how, you know, you had to learn all the different versions of the industry. And I wanted to know, from your experience, what do you find has been the most difficult version that you've had to deal in?
Honestly, monetizing is always the hardest part.
Because
you never quite know when your brand has reached a space of commodity that you can then justify your worth. So people always say, know your worth. But when you have someone in your industry that may not be as skilled as you but has seniority on the ground, how do you really dictate your worth? You know, at what point have you pushed your brand to a place where, yes, I am worth what I think I am worth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very difficult, Mike, and I'm glad you bring that up, because that is a hard thing to do, starting out, developing your brand, as well as building product life cycles of your brand. How do you do that? What kind of things, and this would be good for young artists, too, to understand. How do you value your brand?
Well, honestly, you have to monitor the presence of your brand. You have to learn to monitor the reach of your brand, the impact of your brand. And this all depends on which version you're working with. If you're in fashion, then each product is called a SKU. It has a SKU number. And you ask yourself, well, how well do my SKUs do within the collection? So if there's 5 designers and there's 10 pieces in the line, 2 of those pieces were probably designed by you. You look at the sales sheet, and if your pieces are selling through, then you're a commodity. As a recording artist, you look at how many flyers, you know, you've been placed on, and then you look at the population of the shows. You look at how many people attend venues because you're attached. You look at how many people purchase material because you're attached. And then you can kind of gauge your positioning there. You can also watch the demand. At the end of the day, if more people are calling you to be involved than you are calling to be involved, then your relevance is starting to evolve.
Okay. So I'm going to change gears a little bit. As far as criteria for success, what do you think have been some of the criteria of success that you've implemented that have grown your brand?
In truth, there's really no criteria. You just have to be willing to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be willing to expand, whatever that means. And I say that because it's going to vary from task to task, industry to industry, individual to individual. You just have to be open and willing to receive success wherever it's going to come from. So you never really know, because it's not a story that is written by you.
Agreed.
You just have to be prepared to receive it.
Completely agree with you, Mike, because I find, and especially people within the industry, how you can start off, for example, being really into music and having a decent voice, but then things transfer that you become in film or radio. You know, it's just you never know how things are going to turn. And again, it's like you said, it's just how the story is. You can't be, not necessarily the author, you just live in the story.
So explain that to me, though. It seems like if you're working in a certain area and you're trying to build, say, your music CD, do you think that there's something that you do that changes that story? Or do you think it just happens?
That's the thing. I think the minute artists really realize how much of this is not in their hands, the further they'll go. When they start to realize that all you can do, think about this. Something my mom said to me years ago, that I was a glutton for punishment. I was wondering, like, what are you talking about? You know, you're like the biggest narcissist in the world, that, you know, you have this almost twisted need to be accepted. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, well, let's look at it. You spend all your time, money, effort, and energy into creating a product that is not successful unless a world in a room full of strangers approve it.
Hmm.
So when I thought about that, I was like, wait a minute. No matter how hard I work on this, no matter how much I polish the music, no matter how much I've crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's and spent my money on all the features, all the production that I possibly can, if the people don't receive it, it did not work.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, how much of it is actually in my head? The creation of the product is completely in my head. Success of the product is not.
You know, that is such a prophetic word, because you are so right. Because, and I think that's hard, Mike, for artists and creative people, because we are so focused on creating what we think is a great product, and we can't get out of us.
Right.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Your mom's right on.
And for someone who's not in music, right? But for the moment, when you realize that, then I look across the board at everything I do. I do fashion, right? So I did fashion for so long. And realize that at the end of the day, same formula, no matter how much work I do, until it hits the stores and sells, it means nothing. Mm-hmm. Even when the retailers purchase the goods wholesale to put in the store, it's still not truly successful until it sells through to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the retailer won't rebuy. They won't repurchase.
So in truth, like in every industry, you have to be customer-focused rather than self-focused. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is kind of difficult as somebody that's creative, because you see this vision and have this vision in it. And when you truly accept that it's not really just your vision that you're living, more successful.
Well, just like me, I love hippie clothes, but this is not going to happen in the retail store sometimes.
And I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't wear the stuff sometimes she wears. So.
The hippie boho is in, okay? I don't care what you guys say.
You know, all them colors. Hey. All them colors, Mike.
My Ugg boots. Come on, you guys. Now everyone wears Ugg boots. Okay. All right.
Listen, floral print. Let's go for it.
Oh, Lord. Floral and neon. Bring it.
Yeah, let me water my outfit.
So here's the thing.
A lot of times people spend so much time prepping the jump that they forget that the landing is far more important than the leap. Mm. So if you can't prep the landing, then where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Progress is based on a series of landings, not a series of leaps.
It really is. Good advice for everyone.
This is how, you know, once you get into that mindset, you start to produce different. You start to pursue different. You start to focus different on how you make your moves, and then it becomes a chess game. At that point, as an artist, you release yourself from this demand of demanding. You have no clue what those answers are. So you start to retreat back to the reason you do it in the first place, which is you. Just make your music.
Right.
Right.
And what's going to happen is, There's a formula in the world. There is 1 million people on this planet that love whatever you love. guaranteed. No matter how twisted, neon, floral, hippie, abstract, whatever. There are a million people on this planet that love exactly what you love. That's just how energy works.
Right.
So with that said, it now becomes a story of marketing and how many of these people you can allow to know where to get to what you love.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And now I know that we're going to ask you to switch gears to this. I understand that you're also a professor and you teach.
Well, what's funny is I don't like claiming myself a professor because I have nobody's master. I have no one's master. But at the same time, you know, after you have 10,000 hours of professional time in your industry or in your field, then you become eligible to be an adjunct. And at that point, I was ushered into that space to teach. So, yes, I you know, I still find it weird at times when people call me professor. I'm like, listen, let's not do that.
You're
because
so
I don't. I know professors that's been in school 12, 15 years. Those are professors. You know, I just happen to be kind of good at what I do.
And so what do you teach, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
What do you teach, Mike?
Graphic and fashion design.
So tell us a little bit. Now, are you still heavily involved in your fashion line? Is that what your sole purpose was, or was music the first?
I'll be honest with you. Music has always been the focus of everything. I actually ran Top Speed in fashion about 6 years ago. I just packed up my desk and said, I'm gone. Don't call me no more. I'm changing everything. I'm leaving. Because fashion has been so abusive and had become this repetitive hamster wheel of creativity.
Yeah.
Where I just was getting stifled and drowned, and I felt so useless that I had to get out of it. But it's a skill set that I've honed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And before I can't feed my children or sustain my home, I got to try to do something. So I'm not going to let it go to waste. So the people in my life urged me to teach it. So at least that way, something beneficial is coming out of all the time that I've been doing.
Right.
So that has become. So, you know, it was a ends to a means.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on a spiritual level, it was a good look to continue passing on the information to those that do still have a passion for it.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
You know, because I had a passion for fashion. You know, that was the same. When I came into fashion, I went to high school for it, and I didn't even intend to do fashion. I just wanted to draw. I didn't care what they were doing.
Oh, good.
And then I ended up going to fashion in high school, and it segued into fashion. And then school after that continued down the road to fashion, and my opportunity seemed to play in the realm of fashion. I was a model for 10 years, and when I started modeling, all my relationships had become designers, photographers, and other models. So that left me buried in fashion. So when I stopped modeling, all of my relationships, when I started to think about where I was going to go next, was with a bunch of designers and offering to do graphic work for them. And then when they found out that I had a background in design, one designer in particular, Sable Mochaccino, he took me in and asked me if I would work with him as a male designer for the men's line. And it started from there. From there, I went to Sean John and so on and so forth. So, mm-hmm. You know, kind of happened on its own.
So these relationships, that's a very important point because we are, you know, relationship consultants and we do a lot with people in relationships. What's your opinion on relationships? To us, it's vitally important.
What version of relationships? You mean personal relationships or business?
Business relationship, personal relationship. But let's talk about business. You're talking about you made a lot of relationships in the fashion industry that kind of propelled that. Go ahead.
Viable, you know, the part of the lifeline of your business, to the extent of your business, is based on the collegiate model. Like, you know, all the technical stuff you learn in college is interesting, but nothing is more viable or valuable than the relationships that you build in college, because now you have a network of people that are like-minded,
mm-hmm.
that are all excelling in different divisions of this industry that you're about to move into.
Mm-hmm.
All opportunities sale through relationships. Somebody, be it word of mouth, newspaper, somebody has to point you or something has to point you in the right direction. So mm-hmm. be it your relationship with a person or your relationship with a publication, the relationship is how you relate to the next thing that you're going to be getting into and how you move forward. And truthfully, it's a gift and a curse. That same relationship can be that thing that blocks you from moving forward if the relationship is tainted. So, you know, relationships go a long way. People do a lot for people in a comfortable space.
So how do you keep those relationships from being a curse?
Well, you try to do right by people. You try to work hard and build a personal brand for yourself as an individual, as someone that is an asset and not a liability.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. So now that we've talked about the relationship building, do you feel like, so how, what was your preparation or how did you go into music? What was your strategy to move into music?
Well, what's crazy is music, again, has always been the forefront for me. So okay. I stepped into music in elementary school, singing for my school, and then that's when my interest was piqued. And then around junior high school, I joined a group that got a record deal called Vision. And we were doing that around the time the boys and MC and these other boy groups were running around. So we were doing all the vocal training and classes, you know, all that normal stuff. So I kind of got the bug for the formal version of music pre-teens. So it's all I've known. So it's always been there.
Okay.
You know, it's absolutely always been there. Every move I've made, every physical, you know, residential move I've made has always been in consideration to, is there a studio nearby? Do I have musical relationships here? Is it going to take me off my course too far? Will I be able to still pursue? All of those things are factored in just about every life decision I've ever made.
So, Mike, what would you call your genre of music?
Hip-hop, absolutely. I'm a culturalist.
Okay.
So I make music as a soundtrack to my culture. My obsession at this point in my game as part of my evolution is no longer being the best rapper, being the hottest rapper, or the biggest rapper. I just create a soundtrack for someone who's more so known for sustaining the culture, evolving the culture, and pushing my culture forward.
Mm-hmm. And your culture, it's deep root, just like many hip-hop artists, is deeply rooted in your upbringing, would you say? Or is it not?
I would say it's a little wider spread for me. The average person is limited to their individual upbringing. One of the blessings of knowing such a range of people coming up and walking in such a range of lives, I've actually experienced firsthand a very, very wide range of life. So I tell stories not just of me, but I tell stories of my inner circle.
Okay. So where do you see the hip-hop industry growing? I know you right now you said you're creating and expressing some things for other people. Where do you see just the hip-hop culture going? What is your prediction of it in the future?
Well, with that said, I'd have to think about where it's been, mm-hmm. and where it's at, where it's going. Where it's been, it started off in the most pure form possible. It was like this controlled anarchy of emotion and feeling and insight and commentary. It was social commentary at its finest from the minds and the larynx of the voiceless. Then it became this lucrative epicenter of uncontrolled everything. Everything started to pass through it because corporate America got involved and it started to become lucrative. So people started looking at the money more so than the point, than the purpose. People started chasing the dollar because now that the dollar attached, when it started, there was no monetary value. So it was
right.
only there for whatever real life motivation there was no other benefit. Mm-hmm. Once the capital got involved, it became extremely tainted because anything that dangled something shiny in front of it became viable.
Mm-hmm.
There was no margin on whether or not it was okay culturally because as long as it paid, it played.
Right.
Now, we're trying to get a harness on it and we have a little bit more control because now we have the internet. And we can go direct to the people. We can control and A&R our own situations. And with that said, it opens up a lot of freedom to now try to repair and restructure the culture as it is. So now we're trying to reinstill personality. We're trying to reinstill direction. We're trying to reinstill purpose. We're trying to get things back on track so that we can start to grow back in the right direction. See, people lose sight of the fact that hip hop is very young.
Right.
You know, it's only 40 years old mm-hmm. in the big scheme of things, maybe 44 max. And with that said, when hip hop started making the kind of money that it started making, remember there were $1 million videos in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
$60,000-$80,000 video budget, multi-million-dollar record deal.
Right.
It became incredible. Then there is, to this day, there is not a corporate company on the planet that has not used a hip hop influenced ad campaign at some turn in their career.
Yeah.
From Apple, the biggest companies, down to coffee.
Even the most conservative ones,
There's some undertow somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, hip-hop had the illusion of you giving a 17-year-old $5 million and saying, you know what, you're ready for the world, go for it. Can you imagine what the life of a 17-year-old with $5 million at his disposal is going to live like?
I know, yeah, agreed.
All right, well, what we did was, We were so caught up enjoying the profits of hip hop that we let the hand of hip hop go and that hip hop wandered through life on its own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're at this place where it's like, just like a parent with a child wandering in the street, we finally are reaching out, getting our hand back on it. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right. No, are you?
Where are you at?
No, are you hopeful that it will continue to that we continue to have that hold on hip hop? Or do you?
We have to.
Yeah.
We have to, because now we have two generations that are of this culture. Like, we're no different than Judaism. We're right. No different than Christianity. We're no different than, this is a culture. People's dress code, thought patterns, food choices, posturing, dialect, everything. Their scientific method of thinking is based on hip hop.
And I understand that, Mike, but if someone could argue that the same was true at one point with jazz, the same was true at one point with blues. How is hip hop mm-hmm. different?
Because jazz aged out, so did blues. Jazz and blues can safely be considered my mother's music.
Mm-hmm.
My mom listens to hip hop. My mother will stop me and tell me about TMZ and what's going on with Jay-Z and Beyonce. I'm looking at my mother like, are you seriously talking to me?
So you don't think you agree that it could phase out, though, and there's something else will take over?
Well, here's the thing. Something else will take over, but hip-hop has such, this is the first, since rock and roll, this is the first genre of music that has literally raised and cultivated generation. We're on the third generation of hip hop offspring. And I'm talking about even those that don't do music on any accord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scientists, engineers.
Do you think that this is propelled because of, like you said, we can go straight to the internet? Do you feel that the hip hop culture is actually propelled because of the use of the internet, and that's why it's so widespread?
I still don't know, because every other culture still has that same access. Jazz still has access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Blues, soul, mm-hmm. polka, you know, folk. They all have access to the internet. But the thing is, this has literally shaped our society. If you look at everything from the news, corporate, banking, mm-hmm. hip-hop has this undertow on these three generations that is almost unshakable, so that anything that comes after it will still have this undertow of a hip-hop philosophy.
Right.
Because hip-hop, again, was never the music. The music is just the soundtrack to the culture.
Right, right. I think
fashion is the dress code.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hip-hop was the mentality.
So you mentioned, Mike, getting back the culture. How are you... I guess, how are you doing that, and how are others doing it? Is there a team? I mean, is it a collective effort?
Absolutely. There's a whole, we have a movement in New York City called the New York Hip Hop Renaissance that we lead up. that is there's radio, there's people that have come and gotten involved and created the, you know, the Hip Hop Renaissance Radio Coalition. Then you have people that, you know, we've handled the live staging and trying to make sure that there's an integrity-based staging scenario. So, no, you cannot pay to play. You can pay to open, but you cannot pay to be featured. You have to earn that slot.
I like that.
It has to be based on your showmanship, your work ethic. And if you have to tell me who you are, because I am this underground New York scene, like I make it my business to be everywhere, support everything I can. So if you're out here working, I'm going to see.
Right.
Or one of the 7 to 10 promoters in New York City, if I don't know you, they know you. Because we're the only ones throwing this kind of, you know, creating this kind of environment. So if you're truly doing the work, you can tell me what you want, email me what you like, but we will know you. And if we know you, then you're doing your job.
I love
it. It's integrity based. You know what I mean? So we're not blocking anyone out, but right. We're just monitoring who we let in.
And you know, and I love that because this is kind of, and it's a little bit off topic of the mic, but we were talking about earlier how now with kids, we were talking about Easter egg hunts and how we give them the eggs and they're just laid right there in front of them. And my mom was saying how when I was younger, and as well as she believes it still should happen, is people work for things that they want. And I agree that so many people, and I won't say so many people, but there's a lot of just handing it to
entitlement.
You. Entitlement.
Yep.
Even I'm a millennial, that it's that way, that people feel entitled because they've tried a little bit. But I like this effort that people have to work for what they want.
Did you say you're a millennial?
I am.
Oh my goodness! You know what? I'm still getting used to the term myself. You know,
she's young, and I don't know what she's talking about.
It just sounds like you guys are supposed to float or fly. Something just different.
He's up on my guy. Fly. I'm magical.
Hey, wait! I'm the millennial.
Yeah.
Oh, by her.
like you guys come back every year or something. I don't know, but
you know, what you know, I really love about this, Mike, though, is that it's. I always wondered and hoped that we as a culture, you know, whatever that, not necessarily an ethnic culture, but we as a culture would stand together and create opportunities and platforms that promote things the way we want it promoted.
Right.
And I love that you're doing that. I love that it's.
Why not? You know what? Why not? Exactly what you're saying. Why not? Why do we have to allow? That's what hip hop was. Hip hop wasn't waiting for them to say we can have a party outside and we can play a record this way. We went outside. Cool Herc took his turntables outside. He jacked into the light post and said, "You know what? I'm going to play some music, and if I build it, they will come."
You know what? You know one thing I will say about New York is way different than California. In the sense of when I go to New York, I went with some friends to New York and we went to a couple of like underground events and things of that sort. It's funny how that is so, I see the unity. We don't do that enough in California. And I love to hear this, that they're, you know, you're unifying and you're.
With the collaboration and the business minds getting together.
I love it.
And it's creating a future for the culture.
Well, here's what's crazy. I do a lot of this with Californians as well. So. You know, we have Planet Asia that's out there in Fresno, L.A. area. We have Razzcast who's out there. He does a lot of stuff with us as well. We have a lot of cool guys from that side of town that subscribe to the concept and the direction. You know why? Because they understand that with the way that the culture is becoming, if you listen to mainstream radio now, if we do not do this ourselves, we will have nowhere to be. Because now it has become so monetized that no one really cares about the cultural value. They just want to wring it out so it drips dry.
So how do people get involved in your movement?
Well, there is the writersblockconcert.com, which is our website. Writer's Block is spelled with two T's. We did it illiterately on purpose, so we don't have to get caught up in Google searches. So Writer's Block with two T's. Concerts with an S .com. You can go there and check out stuff we're doing. We just came back from South by Southwest in Texas Monday, which was excellent. We picked up some new things. So salute Monster Audio. They just jumped on as a sponsor of the concert. So we're about to go 0 to 60 very quickly.
Okay.
There's the hip-hop, the Holistic Hip-Hop Collective.
Love that.
.com.
Okay.
That's one of our strategic partners out of the DMV, out of the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area.
Okay.
So we have them who are on board as well. We have Grindhard TV, who handles our media. So they're also a strategic partner. So these are all portals to get into what we're doing. There's GIDradio.com, there's DeepMinersRadio.com, and then there's MaximumFM.ca, which is our portal out of Toronto. So what we've been doing is, our model is simple, is that we go to each region network, we find out who's the viable underground promoter here, who does the grassroots work here. We connect with them and we offer to do this. We will bring the entire model to your city. All we ask is that you give us somewhere to be and that you bring us a network of your local talent.
Love it. Okay.
We will do the rest. We will do all the marketing, all the branding, all the packaging. We will bring the network of our core artists that represent the brand with us.
Mm-hmm.
We will show up with a show in a van. Here we go.
I love this.
So there's a company called Hub New York, so let's shout them out. Hub New York is the Sprinter company that sponsors us. So mm-hmm. if you've ever seen the Mercedes Sprinters,
mm-hmm.
the big black 15-passenger Sprinters, mm-hmm. they sponsor us, so that's how we get around. And then we just pull up. We have our DJs with us. We have one or two notables with us, like Large Professor or Planet Asia or Royal Flush or Tragedy Gaddafi or Boot Camps, mm-hmm. because that's my team. You know, these guys are always on hand to make sure that we have validated, established artists with us as well, so that these new artists are framed with the right kind of talent. And then we just go for it.
I love this. You know, we're out of time, and I would love to keep going because I could see so much of us, you know, even us getting involved in the movement because lack of knowledge, right? We had no idea this was going on. We'd love to continue to promote it because I'm all about the culture of all the things that are happening instead of, you know, the profits. The profits are great. We need that. But the culture and the history and the...
So keep the culture intact.
Keep it intact.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Why don't you give... before we end, I'd like you to give information on how people can contact you. I know you gave some other resources. How can they get in touch with you, Mike?
Okay. Well, social media, if you want to hit me on Twitter, that's TheReal, Mike Hands, MICHANDZ. The Real Mike Hands is on Twitter. On Instagram, you can hit me at just Mike Hands, MICHANDZ. And the easiest way to do everything else is Google. Just go to Mike Hands, MICHANDZ, and you can Google and everything will come up. The website, everything. So
awesome.
I look forward to it, and hopefully people reach out and we can do some things.
Okay, Mike Professor. I'm sorry, I messed that up.
Professor Mike, thank you so much. No, I'm just messing. Mike, thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate your wisdom, and we'll definitely be in touch and hopefully have you on again.
I appreciate you guys, too, and I look forward to it.
Okay. Have a good day. Stay warm.
Have a good one. Good night.
Well, you know, was great to have on.
He was totally amazing. I am so excited that they are creating this culture within hip hop. I thought it was lost. I had no idea that it was still, you know, going on. I mean,
agreed. Yes, I didn't even know about this movement. No. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people like us that are interested in helping that are in mm-hmm. California, but more so, I think that we don't have a movement in California as of that, that keeps it.
Well, we do, obviously. You said they did.
People from
so
there.
We don't know.
So we just don't know
about it. I think it's all about that whole awareness piece.
Agree.
But we're going to get him back on the show, and people we'll have on our website ways you can get in contact with him and how you can make sure that you can join the movement. I wanted to, we're at the point of our show. We only have a couple of minutes to talk about mindfulness and get Jay to give you a prophetic word. There's a lot going on in the world today. A lot of, you know, there has been some, you know, difficult things and people, a lot of hatred. And we just want to reach out and see, give you something to stay positive with today. If you could just, Jay, you want to share a prophetic word?
Yes. You know, I find that this was such a great show, and you know, I was appreciative of all the things that Mike shared, and I think that the first thing, the word that comes to mind is appreciate. I think that we need to appreciate those that are around us and share knowledge more, and I think that today's word would be appreciate.
I agree with you. I think that being appreciative of what we have, where we're going, and what is in the future for us is so important. It's all about that visionary mindset. You have to be a visionary, and you have to keep the faith, you know, because there's things in this world that will tear you down. But if you keep the faith and know that the people helping, it's amazing.
So we want to tell you guys a little bit. We're having the Mindful Meditation Workshop at Awakening March 26th, this Saturday from 4 to 6. On April 24th and 25th, we'll be at the League of Schools in Lake Tahoe, so please join us. And you guys, please feel free to write us at write2@strategicladies.com. Again, that's write2@strategicladies.com. And thank you so much for listening to our show today.
Right, and let's go ahead and we're taking reservations now for the event at Awakening. So come on in. Come on down. It's going to be a good one.
Yep. So everybody, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Bye.
Bye-bye.